more women than ever are playing college sports these days. Well, when you look at who's coaching them, it's a different story. According to research from the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport, the percentage of women coaching women at the collegiate level is close to an all-time low. Our next guest is here to look at why that is, the barriers that exist for current women coaches, and what can be done about it. Nicole Lavoie is a senior lecturer in the School of Kinesiology at the University of Minnesota, where she's also the director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport. Her recent piece for the website, The Conversation, is titled The War on Women Coaches. Nicole, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, tell us how we got here to have this decline in the number and the percentage of women head coaches.
Yeah, most people assume that we're at a record high of women coaches, given the skyrocketing rate of participation in sport for girls and women. But in 1972, when Title IX was passed, which is a federal civil rights law making gender discrimination in the schools illegal, it opened the floodgate to participation opportunities for girls to play. Back then, it was about 1 in 27 girls played sports. Today, it's about 1 in 3. Now, back then, about 90% of girls were coached by women. And today, we're near an all-time low at around 42% of all collegiate women are coached by women. And the numbers are even more dire at the high school and youth levels.
Right. I saw that number, 42%. I thought, oh, that's pretty close to even, until I realized that's only considering women's sports in college. So more women are being coached by men than are being coached by women.
That is correct. And men are coached rarely by women. Around 2 to 4% of the time are men and boys being coached by women. So if you look at all the coaching jobs across the spectrum of coaching girls and women and coaching boys and men, men hold around 75% of all head coaching jobs.
In that piece you mentioned at the website, The Conversation, you key in on one particular potential cause here, a double standard, the kind of behavior we might expect from a coach. We see a man do it, we say it's okay. We see a woman do it, and we start to worry. What's going on?
Yeah, due to gender stereotypes and gender bias and sexism and homophobia, a lot of the things that we confront on a daily basis, we have expectations that women be nurturing and caring and supportive and relationship-oriented. And when we think of men, we want them to be assertive and independent and dominant. And when men and women divert from these traditional stereotypical gender norms, they're critiqued. So what we know from the data is that what it means to be a coach privileges the behaviors that we associate with men and masculinity. Coaches are expected to be confident and demanding and assertive. And when women need to be a coach and they act, in effect, like men, they are subject to backlash. And that is due to stereotypes and gender bias.
One interesting set of examples you cite in that piece is that for coaches fired for actual abusive behavior to their students, women and men face different outcomes when they get back into the job market. What did you see?
Yeah, there's been an alarming trend, not only that due to gender bias, women's behaviors are perceived and evaluated and interpreted very differently than their male colleagues. And we see that many women coaches are being fired or their contract renewed or they're being forced to resign due to allegations of athlete abuse. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take accusations of abuse seriously, but when women are fired from their positions as coaches, they are much less likely, in fact, it is rarely possible that they enter back into the coaching carousel and find a comparable and equal position, as where their male colleagues will quickly get rehired and enter back into the coaching ranks.
Talking to Nicole Lavoie from the University of Minnesota School of Kinesiology, director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport. The question, why are the numbers of women coaching in athletics, college and elsewhere. Why is that number going down over time? Nicole, I understand you were a college athlete yourself and you were a collegiate coach yourself. What kind of things did you see in your own personal experience?
You know, when I was coaching in my 20s and early 30s, I think I was just young and naive enough not to really notice a lot of the bias that I was facing. But looking back, I certainly faced a lot of scrutiny, having to perform to be perceived as competent. My older male colleagues would often be patronizing or act very paternalistic, like they're my father, and pat me on the head and, you know, say, you're too young and pretty to coach, or, you know, things like that, that at the time you just sort of laugh off, but it gets under your skin. And now as a scholar and a gender scholar sport, I understand what I was experiencing as bias.
So assuming we want to turn these numbers around, what do you see as the starting point for trying to, I guess, bring more women into coaching and create an environment where they can stay there?
Yeah. You know, I get asked this question a lot, Rob, and I think that the strategies to move the needle up in the right direction are complicated. You know, if it were easy, the numbers would be growing rapidly, which they certainly aren't. They're very stagnant at around 42%. So I think systemically, societally, everyone really needs to do a better job of confronting their own bias, because we all have it, whether it's gender or racial bias. And then those biases seep into the hiring processes about who we recruit, how we recruit them, who we interview, and who we hire. And we know that people tend to hire people like themselves. And because most athletic directors in the U.S. are male, they tend to hire other men because that's who's in their network and that's who they're comfortable with. So I think, first of all, we need to confront bias in the system. Two, I'd say athletic directors and decision makers, people in power, need to create a culture where women feel valued, safe, and supported. Many women do not feel any of those things. And then I think we need to stop blaming women for the lack of women coaches. A lot of things that I hear when I'm out giving talks around the country is that, well, you know, women don't apply, there aren't enough women, women choose not to coach, et cetera, et cetera. Without looking at these systemic barriers that impede women from entering into the ring in the first place. So there's so many things that we could do. We could probably talk an hour just on that, Rob. But those are some kind of top line thoughts I have.
I want to give a listen to the head coach of the Notre Dame women's basketball team. Pretty good program. They've had their definite successes. Muffet McGraw made headlines earlier this year when she said she would not hire another man for a coaching staff. It's been all female for the past, I think, 7 years. In a press conference, here's a part of what she had to say.
Girls are socialized to know when they come out, gender roles are already set. Men run the world. Men have the power. Men make the decisions. It's always the men that is the stronger one. And when these girls are coming out, who are they looking up to tell them that that's not the way it has to be? And where better to do that than in sports?
So providing the role models on her coaching staff in that case.
Yes. And that's really important, Rob, because we know from the data that when young women are coached by women, they're more likely to go into coaching. And we know that same-sex role models matter. They matter for boys and they matter for girls. So most boys, and I would say 100% of boys, get a male coaching role model. And many girls and women go through their entire sporting career never having had a female coaching role model. And we know that matters based on the data.
If you were talking to a young girl, high school or college level, thinking, hey, maybe coaching is for me, I don't know, what would you have to say to them?
The simplest thing that we can say to young girls who desire to coach is go for it. Encourage them. A lot of women and girls that get into coaching is simply because someone they admire, a significant other, a coach, a teacher, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, said, hey, you know, I think you'd be a good coach. I think you should do that. And if you want to, let's talk about it and I'll help you. Simply asking and inviting girls to think about coaching is the most powerful, simple, free, and easy strategy we can employ.
We're talking about the declining numbers of women coaches in college sports, as well as other levels of sport. Our guest is Nicole Lavoie of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you see this firsthand, maybe, as a college or high school athlete? Do you think there's a difference in how male and female coaches are perceived and treated? What could be done to increase the number of women in coaching positions? Do you have a personal experience as a woman yourself who has been a coach or been coached by women or men? What did you see there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Nicole Lavoie of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota. We're talking about the challenges women face coaching at the collegiate level and why the number of women coaches has actually gone down over the decades. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your comments, your experiences, and your questions for our guest. If you have been a woman in coaching, we'd definitely like to hear from you, whatever level you coached at, from 5-year-olds up through college level and beyond. Did you feel like you were accepted as a coach, whether you're coaching boys or girls, men or women along the way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nicole, do you see authorities on these issues? People at the NCAA, for example, paying attention, caring about this as an issue?
Yes, I do. In fact, I work very closely with the NCAA Office of Inclusion and Dr. Amy Wilson and Catrice Albert, who fund and support many initiatives that I and my colleagues work on around increasing the percentage of women coaches and supporting and developing them.
Are they making a dent, though, when they do that?
Yes. In fact, we are. The numbers of women coaches is slowly creeping up. We see about 0.1 to 0.3%. Now, that's 0.1, not 1%. Of an increase every year. And that is a good thing because it's going up. And I feel that if we didn't put the energy in terms of research, education, and outreach between the Tucker Center and all our collaborative partners, that it definitely would be declining. So we know that when we do women-only or women-focused coaching, education, and development networking, it does make an impact.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Elise is with us in Madison. Elise, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Elise?
Hi. So I've done a fair amount of coaching, both at the middle school level, at the high school level, varsity assistant, things like that. I was a collegiate athlete myself, and I recently just stopped coaching for a lot of reasons, but one of it is I don't like how I'm treated by dads. I feel like a lot of times they don't value my knowledge. Even though I played softball in college, they will try to give me tips or they'll mention like, oh, you will be such a good coach after you get some more experience, even though I have a lot of experience.
Elise, thanks so much. Do you think you would ever go back into coaching?
I hope so. I love it and I miss it, but it's too hard right now.
Elise, sorry about that. Thank you so much for sharing your story. That sounds, Nicole, like it's going to be something that was familiar to you as a coach.
Unfortunately, yes. I hear countless stories weekly, sometimes daily, of women like Elise who have stopped coaching because they're just tired of putting up with the discrimination and harassment and bias by sport parents, colleagues, referees, and other people in the sport environment. And it really breaks my heart because, Elise, if you're still listening, I hope you get back in because those girls need you, they value you, and you make a big impact in their lives. And I know it's hard, but it's so important that we see female role models in that space.
Do you have a message for the sports dads out there, Nicole, who it sounds like helped drive Elise out of coaching?
I do. You know, I don't want to paint the picture that all males or male coaches shouldn't be coaching girls at all. There are many wonderful male coaches. What I'm advocating for is to create a climate where we have more women succeeding. And that includes male allies, and we have many male allies. Not all men are trying to drive women out of coaching. That's just not true. So for the dads and the male allies listening out there, just know that your daughters desperately want and need female role models, and that due to your own gender bias, how you perceive and evaluate women coaches is very different from how you perceive male coaches, and you just got to give them a break, support them, and lift them up and champion them rather than criticize and tear them down.
Thanks
it's really simple.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Nicole Lavoie from the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport, talking about a low number of women in coaching at the collegiate and other levels. Back to your calls now. Bryn is with us in North Freedom. Bryn, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Bryn?
So essentially, I was wondering if the number of women coaches now versus, or percentage of women coaches now versus time before, was somehow due to the increased level of respect of the female athletes. So when female athletes in the past weren't seen as valuable players, that maybe men weren't interested in coaching them, maybe not worth the time, and now that society is advancing and appreciating women and all they're bringing to the table, that more men are willing to coach. So we may see the numbers shift, but because women are more valued. However, I also think that there is still the stigma and are the better coach. So they are now sought out more instead of the female coach, which would be just as good.
Bryn, thanks for the call. Nicole, what do you think?
Yeah, I hear this a lot, Bryn. Thanks for your call. We know that, you know, when the number of women's, the girls' teams increased, predominantly those positions were filled by men because now those positions were paid. They were more prestigious and more powerful. I mean, to be a head college coach at the University of Minnesota, you can make a viable living being a coach. And so that lured a lot of men into the profession. The other thing I think that Bryn is talking about gets back to this idea of the gender bias is that, you know, when we think of who would be the best coach, that obviously privileges men and the characteristics of male coaches. So a lot of people, if we want to hire the best to be the best program, they'll gravitate towards men. And even female athletes, due to their own gender bias, will say that they want to be coached by men. And what they don't realize is they're perpetuating gender stereotypes and gender bias, too. So we have a handout on the Tucker Center website called So You Want a Male Coach. And it's all the ways that we can respond to these claims that female athletes want male coaches because it's layered in bias. And we need to teach people why that's a problem.
Thanks for that call. Going out to Ellen with us in Duluth. Ellen, hi. Ellen, are you there?
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Yeah, what did you want to tell us about Ellen?
I'm calling to share my experience as a coach of a co-ed track team over the last few years in high school. And based on what your guess is just...
Oh, I think we lost Ellen. Ellen, your line's breaking up. Sorry. Thank you for calling in. She had coached a co-ed high school team. Sorry. I would love to hear more about her experiences. Nicole, something I thought earlier, you said coaches, people want to see male, stereotypically, I guess, male attributes like assertiveness and dominance, not stereotypically women, female characteristics like nurturing. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't a great coach be able to do a little of both?
Yes. Yes, Rob. That is precisely the point, is that we need to let go of these gender stereotypes and what it means to be a good coach. Being a good coach is that you're knowledgeable and you're competent. You care about your athletes as people and as holistic human beings. You help them develop and you provide a safe environment for them. And those characteristics, I think, are a blend of stereotypical masculine and feminine characteristics that both men and women need to exhibit.
Looking into the future, Nicole, do you see a time in our lifetimes where we have more of a balance of men and women in coaching?
I certainly hope so. That's why I do what I do and advocate and do research and education around this, because I know it matters and I know it's important. and I hope that we can start reaching some equity in the near future.
Nicole, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for the invitation.
That's Nicole Lavoie, senior lecturer in the School of Kinesiology at the University of Minnesota, where she's also the director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport. We've been talking about women in coaching. The numbers of women, the percentage of women coaches has declined over the years since the early 1970s at the collegiate level. Numbers not much better at other levels as well. Still time for you to share your story. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know your own experience as an athlete, a parent, or a coach yourself. Again, let us know. Tell us about it over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, from ISIS to white supremacist movements, extremists have used the internet and social media very often as effective recruiting tools. The author of a new book lays out a plan to defeat the threat of online extremism. He says it's going to take entrepreneurs at social media companies, researchers, governments, and more to turn the tide in the future. A political scientist tells us American politics and society have changed a lot, but that our political institutions aren't keeping up with those changes. She's from Wisconsin. She'll join the show to tell us why that is at the roots of what a lot of people see as a crisis of governance here in the United States. Plus, it's time to check in with Discover Magazine. We'll look at some of the most intriguing stories from the worlds of science and technology. That, and look at some of the top news stories of the day. It's all coming up here on Central Time.